seated. Before I welcome you this morning, I have a trivial question for you. Does anyone know where the name of our hymn book, Voices United, came from? Thank you. That's right. The last verse of this hymn, the first two words, or three words, with Voices United.
So you win a free lunch, John, today, okay? I just want to let you know. You get first up at lunch today. I want to welcome everyone to this service of worship today. Please stay for the annual meeting after church. And a big thank you to the social committee who will feed the 5,000 again today. Our thanks for them keeping our stomachs quiet during the meeting. And if you do not have an annual report or a copy of the public meeting for the sale of the property, please pick one up on the table in the narthex prior to the meeting. Also, this evening, there's a TAS A service at Port Nelson at 7:30. And next week, there is a healing service here at Appleby during the service. It's simply if you would like to come forward and ask for a blessing. And look for more information in the bulletin of both of these wonderful services. And there's also information about the Lenten study beginning March 3rd. There's two time slots, Sunday after church or Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Please let me know if you need a book. There's a sign-up sheet on my office door. And we're going to look at the closing chapters of that book, We Make the Road by Walking, that were never covered because of last summer. And it talks about the Spirit, the working of the Spirit in our life and in our community and in our world. I think you'll find it interesting. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family this morning?
Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship.
Let us now acknowledge God's presence in our midst. Sometimes it means going to Nineveh like Jonah. Sometimes it means wandering along like Jesus. Sometimes it means staying put like the man from Gerasa.
Stay alone. The church's task is the same. Help people to enter into and deepen their relationship with God in Christ.
Sometimes it means listening. Sometimes it means speaking. Sometimes it means acting.
All the time it means loving. Loving God, loving our neighbors, loving ourselves.
And so we will go or we stay. We move or we don't. In all that we do,
we worship God. Hallelujah.
Let us pray responsively. Gracious God, on our annual meeting Sunday, we drink deeply of the old wine and know that it is good.
We thank you for the builders of this
Christian community, for followers of Jesus who built the building so the faithful can gather to worship. We say thank you. For all who have served as elders and stewards and committee members, or who taught Sunday school, led programs, visited, repaired, cooked, cleaned, and cared, we say thank you.
Holy God, you are also the giver of new wine. Fill us with your life and spirit.
Help us to make your love real for others and ourselves. Fill us to overflowing. Amen. Our next hymn is number 579 in Voices United, The Church is Wherever God's People. 579.
The sickness and need. The church is wherever God's people are sharing the words of the Bible in gift and in deed.
Please be seated. Taking time to reflect is always an important part of our lives, and so is learning to say, I'm sorry. That's why we have it in our service. Let us pray. O God, we greatly value our lives in this world and the tangible blessings you bestow. We carefully tend the houses of wood and brick and stone that serve our physical needs and shelter our families. But we confess our failures in maintaining the spiritual house that is our worshiping community.
We repair our roof and our fence.
We trim shrubs, we caulk our windows and paint our doors. But the corners of our faith are not true. The walls of fellowship are thin. Loose bricks impede our steps of faith. Our windows of hope are cracked, and the roof of our grace sags. Forgive us when we fail to pay attention to your instruction. By your Holy Spirit, let us see beyond our church walls and discern your call to the community. Grant us confidence in the foundation you have laid for building our lives together. Lead us to seek the carpenter's help. Come, Jesus, come. Take a moment now to think about how Appleby can better reach out and connect to the community around us. Amen. Let us now celebrate in the assurance of God's never-ending love for us and others. You are the heart of our faith community, O God.
You
enable us to hear the words we would rather not hear. Pardon and peace do not come without struggle and reflection, but God will grant you a new start and a new heart.
Thanks be to God.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Message, so you'll have to follow along on the overhead as opposed to your pew Bibles if you want to do so. So we'll now have our morning's lesson.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning's story of Jesus comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Jesus calls the first disciples. Once when he was standing on the shores of Lake Gennesaret, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. He noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. He climbed into one of the boats that was Simon's and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Sitting there, using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. When he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let your nets out for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets." It was no sooner said than done. A huge haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell to his knees before Jesus. "Master, leave. I'm a sinner and can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." when they pulled in the catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everyone with him. It was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons, co-workers with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." They pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed him.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever gone fishing? Anyone here ever gone fishing? Thank you. Were you lucky enough to catch something? Did you ever catch something? What? Lost the rod, caught something, lost the rod. Aren't fishing stories great? You know, I love them. What happens after you catch the fish? And I know at times when it gets off the hook, it just flops around in the bottom of the boat for a while. What happens eventually to the fish? It dies, thank you. Think of this story that Jesus is told, the haul of fish into the boat. Is that what we want for people when we invite them to the church? To flop around for a while in the bottom of the boat till they die? I don't think so, right? That's not what we want. Hopefully, being a follower of Jesus is more than an end-of-life event. It is more than what happens to you after you die, but rather your faith in Jesus helps you to become more alive, more loving, more gracious, just, fair, as you deal with the complexities of life. Now, Peter Easton says the words, catching people doesn't catch the nuance of the Greek words in this passage, that it might be better translated saving men and women alive. I wonder what it means to save men and women alive. What does it mean to be fully alive as a follower of Jesus? Do you notice Peter's response in the message to the big catch of fish? He falls on his knees, and what does he say? Thank you. Master, leave me. I'm a sinner. I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself. Does Jesus ever leave us to ourselves? No, thanks be to God. Can't handle this holiness. What an interesting reaction to Jesus, or even maybe when people come into the church. I can't handle this holiness. I wonder what that means. Notice Peter's first reaction to this surprise at this huge catch of fish. It's not joy. You know, at how Jesus has helped me to be better in my trade. Look at the haul we caught today. But rather, it is shame. Leave me, I'm a sinner. I wonder how many people's understanding of God, or even the church, is shame-based. I'm not good enough. Please notice, Jesus doesn't point out Peter's inadequacy as a fisher or point out his character flaws in this encounter. How many people here know when they've messed up? Thank you. You generally, you know. Do you need someone else to say, hey, Al, you really blew it back there? I don't know about you, but I don't need anybody to tell me that. My stomach, my nerves, my conscience does quite an adequate job of beating myself up over mistakes I've made. I generally don't need other people to join in. Simon Peter's inclination, though, was to proclaim belief in Jesus because of the miracles Jesus performed, and then hold himself to the same performance standards. Knowing his inadequacies, he beats himself up because he doesn't measure up. Have you ever beat yourself up because you don't think you measure up? Absolutely. Notice Jesus' response to Peter. There is nothing to fear. Being a follower of Jesus does not mean beating yourself up with 39 lashes every day because you didn't measure up to some standard of holiness. Being a follower of Jesus means opening yourself to being transformed by a loving relationship with a loving God. Not the mean, angry, finger-waving God that looks down at you from the sky, but a loving God and a life that is empowered by God's grace and God's forgiveness, so that you can go out and live God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's kingdom in the world in word and deed, and then help the world reflect that same kindness, justice, fairness. Jeffrey John reminds us the miracle stories in the gospel are more than an astonishing event. You know, if I was there, I would believe too. But rather, they say something about Jesus' mission and about God. Maybe this story of abundance is trying to remind us to approach life with the willingness to be surprised. Surprised by joy, by grace, abundance, being open to something new in your life and in the world. We often think we know the results, what's going to happen. And when we believe we can predict the outcome, we start to underestimate ourselves, judge others, and withdraw our faith from God, who can make all things new. Sometimes God asks us to be open to new possibilities, like a boat full of fish, or a calling to help out in a new outreach ministry project, be it at the church or in the city, as the multitudes await us, as Jesus says. Now, I love a quote by Marianne Williamson that is often attributed to Nelson Mandela, and I'm sure you've either heard it or seen it before. It's from a book, A Return to Love, Reflections on Principles of A Course in Miracles. There's that word again. What word?
Miracles.
Miracles, thank you. Our deepest fear is not that we are weak. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Our playing small does not serve the world. Wow. To live a life with a willingness to be surprised. Surprised by grace, by joy, by love, an abundance, a large catch of fish, by our ability and talent to do new and wonderful things, by our openness to new friendships, our openness to change the world. Peter Eaton also reminds us you can't look at this passage without looking at that dreaded word called evangelism. But how do you do that without some notion of entrapment, being caught in the net, flopping around in the bottom of the boat? Both Mark and Matthew make it appear as if these fisher folks immediately drop everything and follow Jesus, that it's like their first meeting. They hear him and are amazed at his teaching and the miracle. Luke, on the other hand, they already know not only about Jesus, but they know him personally. In the fourth chapter, just before this, Simon invites Jesus to his home after church on Sunday. His mother-in-law isn't well, asks him to pray for her, to heal her from her high fever. And then when the crowd's here, they come too because they want to see Jesus. This passage today may give us hints about what a 21st century evangelism might look like. Like Simon, many people today have some knowledge about who Jesus is, about the church. They went to Sunday school. They were involved in a Christmas pageant. They come to rummage sales, Christmas bazaars, artisans, or the occasional Christmas Eve and Easter service. Maybe the challenge today is similar to the one that faced Peter. to change one's image of God and of Jesus in the church from a shamed-based theology, Master, leave me alone, I'm a sinner, I can't handle this holiness, to a life-giving theology, there's nothing to fear. A theology that sees a relationship with God as one that leads to an abundant life. One that helps us discover our gifts and talents and use them to enrich the life of the community and God's kingdom while releasing joy in us through a life well lived, a life of service and adding to the joy of the world. A shift in focus from a shame-based theology to a life-giving theology. From seeing the world as set, it can't be changed, to being open, to being surprised by joy and abundance, a huge catch of fish, the possibility of new life, of change. When we approach strangers and new experiences from a posture of surprise? New friends to be made and a new world to be discovered. One that can be infused with the possibility of God's love, God's grace, God's abundance, God's joy, and God's fairness for all. Thanks be to God. Amen. Speaking of abundance, we'll now have our morning's offering, and out of the abundance that God has given us, we give to the work of the church so that Jesus can continue to work with the multitudes and call people to healing and wholeness, to being followers in the work of mending the world. We'll now have our morning's offering.
Children small,
washing tired feet and saving those who fall. Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good through all. Take my hands, O Jesus, let them work for you. Make me strong and gentle, I did all I do. Let me watch you, Jesus, till I'm gentle too. Till my hands are right hands, quick to work for you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, in you we live and move and have our being. Through you our lives are blessed. In you our church finds its purpose. Accept, we pray, this offering, for it is a sign of our faith, an act of sacrifice in love, a gift of gratitude for all you have given us. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Gracious God, it is hard for us to accept your unconditional love in our lives. We can't imagine us doing amazing things for you in our world and for others. And so we stay in our shell, only poking our heads out occasionally. Help us not to be afraid, to catch a dream and go for it. You ask us to dream for a better world, not only for ourselves, but also for our neighbors. Be with us at the annual meeting after church today. Our forebears at Appleby caught a dream and built this new church on the corner of Spruce and Henderson. They had a dream of serving the new community that was springing up in this corner of Burlington. Help us again today to catch a new dream of how to serve this new community that is springing up in this corner of Burlington, as established families move out and new families move in. Help us to catch and cast a vision of people who are alive in the light of your love, your grace, your dream of an inclusive, life-giving community and world. This we ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to dream together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thought our closing hymn today was very appropriate for an annual meeting. Let us build a house. It is from More Voices, number 1. And please pay attention to the words as you sing it today. Thank you.
witness and a symbol of God's grace. Here as one we play the faith of Jesus. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where love is found and water, wine, and wheat. A banquet all on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Here the love of God through Jesus is revealed in time and space. As we share in Christ the feast that feeds us, all are welcome.
And hold it there for a moment, picturing in your mind all the people through the ages, some perhaps dear to your heart, many unknown, who have placed their hands where yours are now. Give thanks for their discipleship, their faithfulness, for their challenges and their joys. For yours are now part of them. And the blessing of God, whose face shines upon us, the blessings of Jesus, who calms our troubled hearts, and the blessings of the Spirit, whose love lives within us to show us the way, go with you this day, this night, and forever. Thanks be to God. Greet one another warmly so they may be reminded of